This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Everybody, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the most up-to-date accounting or totaling of the net worth, the collective net worth of the bottom 95% of all Americans. So me and you and your families and your parents and your neighbors and those that you attend mosques and church and temples with, that you see in the grocery store, us together, all of us, the bottom 95%, our total net worth in this country is somewhere in the ballpark of $3.6 trillion, maybe getting close to $4 trillion. The collective net worth of the billionaires that sat right behind Donald Trump this morning at his inauguration is somewhere north of $12 trillion. Let's absorb this fact. The bottom 95% of us have around 3.6, maybe 3.8 total net worth. The 95% of all Americans together, our net worth, shy of $4 trillion. The billionaires that Donald Trump chose to sit with his family behind him at his inauguration today, $12 trillion. Many of them seeing their wealth explode after his election in November. So I ask each and every one of you, no matter what your party, no matter what your policy preferences, if money is speech, how do we speak to the Trump administration? How do I speak to this Trump administration? The billionaire class has taken over our federal government. We need only look at the visuals of today's inauguration of the 47th president of these United States to see that fact in action. Now, we all have something to say about that if we disagree with the idea that money is speech. If we disagree that the only people that truly matter in this country are those that can write the biggest checks to candidates, are those that can buy their way onto the inaugural stage of our 47th president. If you and I are to matter, then we have something to do. Our work lies ahead of us. And what does that work look like for you and me and all of us together? Our work lies in not being distracted from the corruption. Our work lies in keeping our eye on the money. Because if we follow the money, we will see the corruption laid bare, and we all deserve better than government officials, be they Democrats or Republicans or independents, that are bought and sold to the highest bidders. That is not democracy. Our voting systems work just fine. But what our votes are producing is not acceptable and should not be acceptable to any one of us. Now, Donald Trump has run on a series of promises to serve the middle class. I would like to know how the visual of billionaires sitting with his families assures those that supported him and every one of the bottom 95% of us that he is, in fact, going to work for the middle class. Now, we're going to listen to parts of his inaugural address today. Some are stupid. Some are distractions. Some are triggering. But the most important message that Donald Trump had to send to the American people today was sent before he spoke a word. It was sent in every single transactional moment, the purchasing of favor, his promise to the oil billionaires that he would deregulate, his promises to Elon Musk to keep the government spigot flowing of nearly $15 billion in governmental contracts, that he would look away from all conflicts of interest for himself or any of those billionaires sitting on the stage. The fact that the CEO, the owner of TikTok, now sat behind Donald Trump at his inauguration is mind-blowing. I thought our Congress enacted a law, whether you agree with it or not, signed by President Biden, that TikTok needed to be sold off. But now, no. Donald Trump says, I'll wipe that away. By the way, executive orders don't override the Constitution, nor do they wipe away laws duly enacted by our Congress and signed by our president. Remember this, the billionaires sitting on the stage today with Donald Trump control by scales more wealth than the bottom 95% of Americans. If Donald Trump is going to stand for the middle class, what message did he send to each and every one of you and your families and those that supported him and those that may not have supported him? By literally selling access, selling oversight or the lack thereof to the highest bidders. Now, when Donald Trump left office in January of 2021, what did he leave us with?
He left us with one of the worst epidemics, pandemics our country had seen in 100 years, one of the worst recessions since the Great Depression. He left us with an interruption of the peaceful transfer of power. He left us with a rise in hate crimes that our country had not seen since Jim Crow. And he left us with pettiness and lies when he no-showed President Biden's inauguration. In contrast, President Joe Biden greeted President Trump today by saying, "Welcome home, President Trump." He acted with class and graciousness. And of course, to no one's surprise, President Trump displayed none of those characteristics today. So this is where we're at. The billionaire class seated at the right hand of Donald Trump. A man who's promised to enact policies to help middle class and working people. But do not pay attention to what this man says. Now we'll deal with some of what he said today and the things that I want to pull out from this speech. And a highlight for you today are the words that he has said that he will be backing up with action. Because if we pay attention to all the garbage that comes out of his mouth, we're going to miss the point. But do not forget, as we proceed together through these 4 years, sometimes in agreement, sometimes in disagreement, that the first message, the first image that Donald Trump sent to the American people was that billionaires sit at my right hand. They are the most important people in this presidency. They are his family. And he made that clear to us again before speaking a word of his oath to the Constitution or speaking a word of his inaugural address. These are the facts and what it means for the middle class and working people in this country we have yet to see the depths of. But it is our collective job to hold him accountable, and we're going to start today by analyzing some of his words that I believe are going to be backed up by executive orders issued in the coming days, by the deployment of troops in some of our cities, immigration raids being promised this coming weekend in places like Chicago and LA and New York. So we're going to talk about those things. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. One of the most notable moments of this morning's ceremonies, I thought, was Senator Amy Klobuchar's remarks. She spoke, given her role as the elected Senate leadership for the inauguration. So that was her purpose in speaking this morning. And while, of course, she did not call Donald Trump out by name, her comments certainly tipped their hat to the complexities, to put it mildly, that Donald Trump presents for the American people. She spoke of our enduring democracy and the fact that that is exemplified, and the peaceful transition of power is exemplified by all of the gathered vice presidents and presidents who were there. She spoke of the 250-year anniversary that is coming up for our country, and the sacred honor and oath that every president makes to follow and be guided by our Constitution. And she also made note of the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King and that we all deserve equal justice under the law. And finally, she reminded us that this inauguration, as with all inaugurations, happened in the Capitol, the People's House, and not in a gilded palace or a royal hall, because our government is of, by, and for the people. Let's make sure it stays that way. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join with your reactions to this morning's inauguration, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be.
Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Maybe I'm trying to be a medium and predict the future. Who knows? It always works better when you participate in this great conversation. And that's what we're all about here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking and taking this first hour all about Donald Trump's inauguration this morning. Having recently been in Washington, D.C., and recently in both the White House and the Capitol, it was ironic, is maybe the I don't know, most restrained word I can come up with to describe this image of Donald Trump standing in the rotunda, the place where insurrectionists whipped into a fury by Donald Trump himself, interrupted the peaceful transfer of power 4 years ago, plus a couple of weeks. And just in case you missed this, spouses of congresspeople were not allowed in the rotunda, but the billionaires, their spouses were. So you had billionaires, family, they were right behind Trump. And then some of the cabinet members sprinkled in there. And then everybody else, like the actual elected officials, faced the dais. So lots of interesting and complicated imagery going on. But let's jump into some of the rich sound from today. Pun intended, y'all. Oh, by the way, also no governors in the rotunda. They were all in the overflow room, this is just the billionaires. Yep. Line up the donors and the Miriam Adelsons and the Elons and the Jeffs, Bezoses, all that jazz, put their wives right with them, their wives and spouses. But you know, you Congress people, your plus ones, they're in the overflow room. Governors, chief executives of states, nah, overflow room. And Donald Trump's rank and file supporters, yeah, y'all can go down to the hockey arena down the block and sit in the cold. You know, heat only for the donor class, apparently, at the Donald Trump inauguration. Okay, let's jump in here. First, it probably the most notable slam coming out of the inauguration speech. This is Donald Trump attacking his predecessor in very clear language on his way out. And keep a listen to where this goes about the hurricanes, and then we're going to take the next cut also about the LA fires, because he doesn't just offend Joe Biden or insult Joe Biden. Let's let the words speak for themselves. We're going to do 1D and then 1E right away, Cardi.
As we gather today, our government confronts a crisis of trust. For many years, a radical and corrupt establishment has extracted power and wealth from our citizens while the pillars of our society lay broken and seemingly in complete disrepair. We now have a government that cannot manage even a simple crisis at home, while at the same time stumbling into a continuing catalog of catastrophic events abroad. It fails to protect our magnificent, law-abiding American citizens, but provides sanctuary and protection for dangerous criminals, many from prisons and mental institutions, that have illegally entered our country from all over the world. We have a government that has given unlimited funding to the defense of foreign borders, but refuses to defend American borders or, more importantly, its own people. Our country can no longer deliver basic services in times of emergency, as recently shown by the wonderful people of North Carolina, been treated so badly. And other states who are still suffering from a hurricane that took place many months ago. Or more recently, Los Angeles, where we are watching fires still tragically burn from weeks ago without even a token of defense. They're raging through the houses and communities, even affecting some of the wealthiest and most powerful individuals in our country, some of whom are sitting here right now. They don't have a home any longer. That's interesting. But we can't let this happen. Everyone is unable to do anything about it. That's going to change. We have a public health system that does not deliver in times of disaster, yet more money is spent on it than any country anywhere in the world. And we have an education system that teaches our children to be ashamed of themselves in many cases, to hate our country despite the love that we try so desperately to provide to them. All of this will change starting today, and it will change very quickly.
Okay, there's a lot there. First of all, packed with a bunch of lies, insulting every single rank and file firefighter and emergency responder that has given of themselves in both the LA and California fires in response to the hurricanes that our country has experienced. No mention of climate. And no mention of the fact that he tried to get rid of the ACA, I don't know, like 75 different times. You'd say our public healthcare system isn't working well. Well, what's the plan, Donald? Or is it more concepts of a plan, sir? You talk about public education and making people feel ashamed. Since when is confronting history something that necessitates shaming? And for him to say such a thing in the Capitol Rotunda on the day that we all celebrate the great legacy of Dr. King is really pretty incredible. We got to take care of a little bit of business on this side, and I'm going to come back to some of Donald Trump's statements in this inaugural about race, about gender, because I think for a lot of us, the stuff that he says is, if it wasn't so gosh darn dangerous, it would be laughable in its utter tone deafness and stupidity. My name is Maggie Dawn. You can join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We're going to take some texts and calls when we get back and continue to take some of the sound from this cold day in hell, Donald Trump's inauguration as the 47th president of these United States. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. More to come after these brief messages.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. I go to the moon.
You are going to be the change that has to come. We are going to take our democracy back from the billionaire class, because I've had just about enough of rich folks wagging their finger in my face. I don't know. How about you? Including that rich guy that's the president right now. No, thank you. I'm over it. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In case you missed my first fun fact of the Donald Trump inauguration, the net worth of the billionaires sitting with Donald Trump's family ahead of the cabinet, ahead of all the congresspeople, ahead of all the governors, sitting with his family at the inauguration, has a net worth somewhere north of $11 trillion, maybe $12 trillion, depends on when you total it all up. Whereas the bottom 95% of us, it's not even the bottom 95%, like 95% of Americans have a total net worth around 3.6 to 3.8 trillion. So there was more wealth on that stage standing behind Donald Trump than there was amongst every single person that voted for him, every single person that voted for Kamala Harris, and all the folks that stayed home. That's where we are as a democracy. And I was just taught we're going to go to the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I want to acknowledge, really hard for some folks to listen to this stuff from Donald Trump. I hear you. But it's important for us to listen, to acknowledge what he is saying, and then to rebut it and to fight against it if it's not what we believe in. One of the things that he said today on the day that our nation celebrates the incredible legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King and every single person, black and white, who has fought to truly fulfill the promise that America is for each and every one of us. He talked about, it was a vague reference, but to those that know, you know, about, hey, we need to make sure that none of our students ever feel ashamed in school. as if learning history, the accurate history, somehow would attach shame to young people. And even if I accept that it did for a moment, here's what I think is shameful: to deprive our children of the full complex history of the United States, to render them ignorant by omission. To say to Black and Brown kids that an accurate recounting of our country's founding, the necessary input of enslaving people to create the United States, to fund our country, to omit that, that's shameful. To not teach Black and white kids and brown kids and all children in our schools of the incredible contributions of Latinos and Hispanics and gay folks and women folk and Black and brown folk, that is shameful. History isn't taught through omission. It needs to be taught in its completeness, in its complexity, the good and the bad. What shames me is that we would rather choose ignorance than to confront our past accurately and humbly and vow to do better, always better, for you and me and for our children. Here were the two moments in this speech for me from Donald Trump. His hat tip to Black and brown communities and Hispanics. This is cut 1J. If Cardi, if you've got it, he's taking a call right now. We'll get there in just a second. Because to me, it doesn't work. It's so complicated. So I want to take these two cuts, these two sounds, and we're going to go to the phones and the text lines. 855-757-855-752-4842. So Cardi, we're going to do, 1J, and then we're going to go ahead and take the cut 14 as well. So let's take a listen.
To the Black and Hispanic communities, I want to thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust that you have shown me with your vote. We set records, and I will not forget it. I've heard your voices in the campaign, and I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and his honor, this will be a great honor, but in his honor, we will strive together to make his dream a reality. We will make his dream come true. This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life.
So I'm just going to wrap that right there. To talk about this great honor, he's talking about himself, right? On Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's not social engineering to talk about disparities. It's not social engineering to talk about the completeness of American history, of world history. That's not social engineering, to try to have some sensitivity to one another and our different lived experiences isn't social engineering. It's called kindness and respect and knowledge, full knowledge. And then this cut. You did it. The eliminating the socially engineering. Unbelievable. Do you have the portion, Cardi, where, and we can listen to it again if we need to, where he goes on to talk about colorblindness, because that was really
Yes,
something.
I do.
All right, let's listen again, and we're going to go to the votes.
So it'll be 14 and 15, end of it. I'll play it back.
This week, okay. I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based.
And we can wrap that up right there.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
So let's wrap that up. I just have to say this. The idea that a president would get up there and talk about colorblindness. I don't know. Do you have a vision impairment, Donald Trump? That's ridiculous. It's offensive. And the reason that I emphasize it is, one, just the disgust that it conjures up as he sort of drapes himself in the cloak of Martin Luther King. But the coupling of colorblindness and there's only two genders and this idea of, oh, we're going to return to this country based on merit. Give me a freaking break. If this was a country based on merit, then the woman who was born of two immigrants, worked her tail off, became an elected district attorney in San Francisco, always had only one client, the people, became a senator and then a vice president, always in service, spent every minute of her professional career in service to the people, then that merit would be acknowledged. We've got to finally get to a place where being white isn't considered in and of itself to be meritorious, to be male, to be cisgendered and heteronormative. Those aren't meritorious character traits. They deserve no more privilege than any other identity trait. Hi, Joe from Madison. You're on the air. What do you have to say this afternoon?
First of all, thank you for the sum up. And I think this is something that we should return to again and again, which is that Trump was there at his inauguration with his family, which is his family, Mr. Musk, his family, Mr. Zuckerberg, his family, that was his family. And that really we need to return to that, that that was the optic that they set up by having those people in the front row. They weren't three rows down. They were in the front row. They couldn't have made him. He couldn't have made a more obvious statement about who he cares about. And I think that you can see that, you know, when you talked about the fact that some of his supporters were left high and dry outside. This is from a man who said during the campaign, I don't like you, I just want your vote. He's got their vote and he can blow them off at this point. And I think that when he was, you know, you get such an insight into him by the language that he, I can't believe his speechwriters let this go through, but when he was talking about the LA fires and he said it was even affecting the wealthy and some of them lost their homes. Like, oh my God, wealthy people suffered too? Oh, geez, how amazing.
Then it must be an actual crisis, right? Oy.
Oh my God, yes. And when he was describing, I mean, it is so offensive when he was describing a quote, a token response, it's not to the LA fires. Okay, not only just the people within the state, we're talking about, you know, the state firefighters, we're talking about firefighters within LA and communities close to that. I have seen tons of footage, and any person has seen tons of footage of firefighters from Nevada, from New Mexico, from Utah, from Texas, from Washington, D.C. state. You know, I saw footage of choppers coming up from Mexico and Mexico National Guardsmen coming up to fight. Yeah. And these big planes that Canada sent down to scoop up water that could be dropped as part of the firefighting. I mean, what an insult. I mean, does he expect people to come back and fight fires when this is the sort of thing that's said? These are ordinary people who are giving up their time to help their fellow citizens. They're putting themselves at risk, not only from, you know, inhaling the all of the dust and the what you get when you're fighting fires, but actual physical danger, and I would say mental danger. 17 people have died so far, and they still haven't gotten all the cadaver dogs there through. There are going to be scenes that those firefighters are going to see that are just horrendous, and they are going to take it home with them, and they do it because they care about their fellow citizens, where this clown boy says, God, even the wealthy were affected.
Oh my. Yes, it's too much. Politicizing human pain and tragedy in this way, vilifying first responders and emergency personnel for personal political gain is the most disgusting manifestation of performative politics I've seen in a while, and we've got more to come. Charles from Oconomowoc, you're up next. What do you have to say, sir?
Oh, Maggie, where do I begin? He's such a hateful individual. You know, his supporters will say he's going to bring us together. He's not. You have Republican politicians in North Carolina that came out right away and said that they were getting the help they needed from the Biden-Harris administration. And he's continuing to peddle that lie that they didn't get help. I don't know how quickly he thinks that they're able to go in and rebuild these areas that have been devastated by Mother Nature. I don't know what he thought he could have done as president to control the winds that helped the fires blaze in California. And the sad part about it, Maggie, is his supporters will believe that. You know,
that's the difficult part, Charles. When he talks about colorblindness, this from the man whose real estate empire that he inherited from his father used to code rental applications and put a C on them when it was Black folks who were applying, right? Like, you mean that version of colorblindness? Who himself withheld aid from California during the Camp Fire, which was the largest fire in California's history, whom I had a guest on this very show who worked in the White House, who said Donald Trump withheld aid to California because it was a blue state. Here is the thing. The people that will be hurt and that are being hurt by this aren't just Democrats and women and gay folks. It will be Republicans. It will be MAGA supporters. They will pay a price alongside all the rest of us in the 95%. Jim from Brookfield, you are up next when we come back after these brief messages. So please stay on the horn. Mark from Prairie to Sac, you'll be after Jim. You can join this great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'll also touch on the executive orders that Trump promised in this morning's inaugural address and the threats that those might pose to you, your kids, your family, and others that you love. That's coming up next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know change gonna come.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Billionaires standing with Donald Trump's family at the inauguration. That's one big freaking problem in this world. We're going to do everything about it to solve it with you together right here on the Civic Media Radio Network every single day. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show. You can find me here on the Civic Media Radio Network from 2 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. You can find our old episodes on Spotify and Apple Pods. We've got them at the Civic Media website at civicmedia.us. You can listen, of course, on the Civic Media app, on your local Civic Media talk radio station, and of course, on the Civic Media website. So check us out every day because we love having these great conversations. Jim from Brookfield, I promised that you would be up next. We're talking about this inauguration. What popped out to you, Jim, from this morning's celebration, if you can even call it that?
Celebration. Well, thank you, Maggie. Good afternoon. Wow. Thank you for playing those comments from our newly sworn in president. As nauseating, inaccurate, and blatant falsehoods that they are, it only shows that we are in for a very rough time. I had 4 years, and I'm very grateful for Civic Media and all the great shows that will provide not only a reality check, but also an outlet to voice some frustration and to talk common sense with rational thinking people who aren't billionaires. So I do appreciate that. But one thing that really jumped out was when the first clip we played, when he blatantly bashed his predecessor, Joe Biden, who's sitting within feet of him, and all the work that Joe Biden did in the last 4 years to help this country, for a man to get up, a newly sworn in president, to get up and stand within feet of him and say blatant falsehoods about the state of this country. I find that totally appalling and offensive. And all you have to do is go back to when Jimmy Carter was sworn in and president in 1977 after he won the 76th election. Go back and look at history. The first thing he did during his inauguration address was to thank his predecessor, Gerald Ford, for the work he did helping this country get through the Watergate mess and out of Vietnam and whatnot. And he actually paused and went over and shook his hand. And those two former presidents remained friends throughout their lives.
Yes.
But Jimmy Carter actually thanked Gerald Ford and paused and went over and acknowledged him. Can you imagine Donald Trump doing that? I mean, come on, what has this world come to? And I just hope these 4 years go by as quickly as possible and damage control down the road, you know, long term can come back to normal. But thank you for playing those clips. I wouldn't call it a celebration, but it's just a red light, a warning light of what's to come.
Yes, I agree, Jim. Donald Trump is a crass ass with no class. And you can send that one to the bank. At any given moment, when he has an opportunity to demonstrate some graciousness, it just won't happen. Nope. The guy is, his brand is punching down. That is who Donald Trump is. And it's a shame. Before we take our last calls, Cardi, I wanted to get this last bit of sound in because this was I call it the pay to play quote from the inauguration. The pay to play quote. Here is Donald Trump saying thank you to Elon Musk in no uncertain terms. Cardi, this is going to be cut 18. Let's let her rip.
And we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars. Ambition.
We can cut the rest of it off. Elon Musk freaks out. So he says our manifest destiny to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars with the two billionaires with the penis rockets right behind him. One of those billionaires with $15 billion plus in government contracts. Freaking believable. Yes, Elon Musk had a little dance celebration, was like slapping high fives because it's like, hey, thanks for all your money and support and for buying one of the world's biggest communication platforms and slamming it full of hate speech and vile tech bro nonsense to help support my reelection campaign. Here you go. I'll commit the United States to spending trillions to get us to Mars and, you know, a few more billion in contracts for you, my friend. While you're in charge of the Department on Government Efficiency, because that makes a whole lot of sense. No. Mark from Prairie du Sac, your thoughts on the debacle this morning.
Hail Hydra. I mean, it is just ridiculous that what is coming out of this man's mouth, and that I saw one of the, I didn't watch the speech, and I've been looking at some of the comments that they're saying, well, Donald Trump didn't put his hand on the Bible, you know, and, you know, Mr. Yeah, Judge Roberts didn't insist his hand get placed in the Bible. There's nothing in the Constitution about the Bible, your hand being placed on. You take the oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, which means support the Constitution of the United States. And perhaps Donald Trump needs to have somebody standing behind him, like the old Romans when they gave them a triumph. It was a servant behind them saying, remember thou art mortal. And it was, I can't remember the Latin phrase now. But Trump needs to understand that he is just another mortal man and that...
Yeah, he is no king. There is no gilded palace. There is only the people's house. And he would do well to remember that. I'm afraid he won't as he doles out all the goodies to his billionaire bros standing with his family at the inauguration. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Colin Sieber of the Center for American Progress Action Fund about which of your rights is Donald Trump coming for first? You're not going to want to miss my discussion with Colin. That's up next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.